Well, good evening or morning, wherever you are, depending upon your time zone. Welcome to As We See the Day Approaching. Today's June 1st, 2022. And I have Renee with me again for part two of Beware the Strange Fire, How He Left the 99. And let me ask the Lord's hand to be over everything discussed before we get started. Father in heaven, great Creator God, we come humbly before you to give you praise and thanksgiving for all things. We ask your hand to be over all discussed and prayed here, and that you guard our lips to only speak what's been given by you. And may the Holy Spirit touch the ears of every listener, including ourselves, to give understanding and revelation to hear what you're communicating to each of us in this hour. And Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Okay. Amen. Well, Renee, what an amazing testimony. It so confirms the goodness of our God. And we're just getting started, you know, as you have much more to share in this session here. Now, if any of the listeners have not listened to part one, please do that. Please, I highly recommend that you do that before listening to this one, because otherwise, much of what you're going to hear tonight won't make any sense. Actually, Renee herself can attest to that fact, because it didn't make sense to her and she went through it. But God's so faithful and has layer by layer removed the veil, so to speak. And he's prompting her to share her story in a big way. And he has a very urgent message for all his people in this hour, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But let me do a brief recap. Then we'll let Renee explain what happened after her escape and return to the United States. All the details of what I'm going to mention are in part one, but let's lay out on the table. I'm just going to lay it out on the table here, what's been shared so far before proceeding. It's kind of going to give us an overview, if you will, of the big picture. First, Renee was not a Christian when all this happened. She had walked away from her Catholic background. She had become a Reiki master and explained why and what drew her to it in part one. And after, if I'm remembering correctly, about 15 years of training and going to various workshops, she was invited to Ireland to go through a workshop in hopes of ascending to an even higher level of enlightenment, we'll call it. And after about 3 days of really crazy events, seeing shape-shifting of the workshop leader, shape-shifting of the buildings around the hotel, which seemed to change about every time they looked out the window, money, the denomination of money shifting into different denominations, the separating and brainwashing of her daughter, they decided to leave the seminar. Okay. After some of those things, they decided to leave. And that's when it went from bad to worse. She saw men in black, and that's detailed in part one. She made several attempts to escape, but eventually was restrained and held against her will, shuttled around to facility after facility, witches sent in to attempt to insert a wicked spirit into her at one of the facilities, but they were abruptly stopped by an angel. More on that in a minute, okay? And I just want to insert here, this sheds a lot of light, I think, for you listening, but God's given Renee certain spiritual giftings, if you will. I've known her for a few years, and I can say, I can attest to the fact she sees, hears, and feels in the spirit. And I understand she's always been this way from childhood. And the enemy wanted to usurp and use those gifts for his purposes. It was apparent to her, it seemed she was specifically singled out, her and her daughter. Eventually, it began to feel like she was in a video game, and there was a battle to scramble her and her daughter's brains for specific purposes. When her daughter would be put into a zombie-like hypnotic state at times, she didn't even know who Renee was at times. The enemy used her daughter's mouth to speak and ask Renee questions. And they were questions that pointed to them wanting to know if Renee was privy to information that they wanted. One of the last questions asked by her daughter when in that zombie-like state was, "Do you see the light?" Now, Renee had told me, I remember when we first started talking, when she initially contacted me, she had said one thing that really stood out was that they were after a life or light code. That really stood out to her. They were after seeking some kind of life code or light code. So they were trying to weaken and break her down to see what she knew or saw in the spirit. What secrets did she know? When they couldn't break her, they were determined to kill her at the organ donor facility. That was made abundantly clear. Ah, but our God, our God, he saw her through it. Okay. He would only let the enemy go so far at every turn. God also used the mouth of her daughter and spoke words of life to Renee, even telling her it was going to get really dark. He said, "Lean on me, hold on to me," and some other things. He spoke several things using her daughter's mouth. The two men that would show up out of the blue to assist her and her daughter, one of them being assigned to Renee in the bomber jacket with white feathers protruding and falling out as he walked, appeared suddenly and stopped the witches from doing what they were attempting to do to her. These two were obviously angels. Her angel was pointing at the surrounding enemies as they walked and were riding in the bus in several of her attempts to escape, pointing at them. The angel was pointing at them, which at the time she thought it was just a man in a jacket, a weird jacket. But the Lord has shown since that he is an angel. It testified to me. It just resonated, and I was testified to that he was an angel. But the Lord was allowing Renee to see the spiritual warfare going on over her. Wow, going on, the fight over her. Her eyes were opened to see it. I was just going to mention that angel was pointing at those surrounding enemies that was encroaching and coming and appearing as they walked and riding in the bus, actually pointing and soul zapping them. And the angel explained to her that was a soul zapper that he was pointing at them. So through a series of miracles, Renee's estranged husband and older daughter were contacted. And we won't go through that again, but they were contacted and advised that Renee and her daughter were missing. Eventually, because of God having plants, his own people at various places like hospitals, they made contact through the American embassy and the consulate who were on standby, but they got them eventually taken to the airport. That was miraculous in itself, but the angel got them there. They were flown back to the United States. Because of her daughter's delicate mental condition, Renee had to ride separately in the plane and keep her distance, because if she would get close to her daughter, it would trigger her all over again. part one goes into some of those dealings with her daughter, how she was acting. But her husband had flown to Ireland and accompanied her daughter back in the plane. Renee will now tell us some of what happened and how she was initially affected upon her arrival back home. And then I believe she's going to share how God led her in the recovery process and into his truth. After she goes through some of these things with us, I'd like to share what the Lord's been saying to me recently and how it's connected. So Renee, I'll give the mic to you now.
Okay, thank you. So like you said, I was on the same plane, but I had to fly separately and pretend or be distant from them. My older daughter that was in the States and my younger daughter's boyfriend picked us up from the airport. My husband and I were actually divorced. I was living in an apartment by myself. So they picked us up at the airport. They dropped me off at my apartment and then they all left. I had mentioned to Diana that I couldn't hear. My ears were totally blocked and they stayed that way for over 3 months. I could hear, but it was very muffled. And I don't know how you would explain it, but in that state, it was very difficult for me to communicate as well. And as you might imagine, after everything that I experienced, I was left reeling. And I really had no idea what I just had experienced or even how to begin to process it. The last thing that I expected when I got home was that my family would totally desert and abandon me. I still felt I was going to be killed. I still felt that I was being watched. I felt that my family may be injured as well. I knew that these people were very technologically advanced, and I really had no idea on their capabilities. I remember waking up one night and just being totally terrified. I was so shattered from the experience. And then my family delivered the final blow. My daughter wanted nothing to do with me. She would not speak to me. We had no communication at all for 3, 4, 6 months. And her father, my ex, wouldn't even or didn't even feel I deserved to know how she was doing. I had no contact and no information whatsoever. So I had been convicted, tried, and accused with no trial, no one even listening to what I had to say or even caring to know. And as I'm sitting reeling, trying to process this, I mean, I remember spending months just beside myself, just bawling, uncontrollable, day and night. And I remember having a memory or a flash. I don't know the conversation, but just being aware of Jesus in that moment as I was feeling so shattered, so betrayed, so ostracized, how he felt when he was crucified and how it must have been for him to be tried and convicted while being innocent. And not only feeling my own pain, but also having the sense of feeling the realization of what he had been experiencing or had experienced in that. And like Diana said, I believed in God. I thought I had a relationship with him. That's what I thought I was seeking in all of this. I believe now, after going through all of this, that what he was doing was calling me out of the New Age movement and really waking me up to let me truly see what I was involved in. As I was processing and unwinding, I had spent most of my life loving my daughters, trying not to be the kind of mother that I had, always feeling I was a good mom. And now I didn't know even what to believe. One daughter wouldn't even speak to me. The other daughter still spoke to me, but she couldn't make any sense of anything. What she was being told was not who she knew me to be. She, just like me, didn't know what to do with the information or what was going on. And again, I remember having a vision of how the Father loves us and how we can ignore him, how we can run from his love, even reject or push him away at times. And I grieved when that became so apparent to me, because I really was feeling what that felt like to love your child so much and then have your child really not want anything to do with you. As you can imagine, my entire life was flashing before me. I mean, everything I had been doing, I was questioning everything. What did I know about the origins of Reiki, of yoga, of crystals? What was it really? What was the origin of it? What was the belief behind it? I mean, I was involved in things that I really was unsure of. I really didn't know what it was. I was trusting others. And I was left with trying to make sense of the senseless. My brokenness after months of just trying to make sense of anything that I had experienced, what I'm experiencing now, what I was left with was, what was I really seeking? And what did I want? What could I trust? I couldn't even trust myself at that point. I couldn't trust myself to know what was the best thing for me, anything. I had a lot of grief afterwards with what was it that I was doing when I was sharing this process or information with other people as well. And what became very apparent to me is what I was wanting was truth. And in that, I knew the only one truth was God. And God alone. From that point on, I put my faith in him. And it's a process, and he's still revealing and unwinding old beliefs that I have. Even as I'm sharing here today, there's more that's becoming apparent. And as Diana and I have spoken and just seen, I didn't really even notice until, or was that, I guess it wasn't that apparent to me. I knew that Christ was there. I knew the only reason that my daughter and I were even alive is because he stepped in. There was no other reason, no other reason whatsoever. But I didn't really realize until I was kind of putting things together just how many times he was there and how many times that he did step in, and how grateful I am that he did. And I pray to God that someone else may hear my testimony, may hear what I'm saying, and light some little flicker within them and help them on their path. So after all this process and realizing that it was God, that was it. That was my truth. That was it. I'm going to hold on to that. And in doing that, he led me to, this happened, I went June 6th of 2015. That's when my trip began. And he led me to a Christian newscaster that spoke of repentance and the need to be baptized and to be born again, accepting Jesus fully into your heart and to let him guide your path. Now, I had been baptized when I was a baby, when I was a Catholic. I thought I was baptized. I thought that the Catholic religion was Christian. I've since found out there is a difference in Catholicism and Christianity. And I also realized that when I was baptized the first time, I was a baby. It wasn't a choice of mine. It was a choice made for me. So I was seeking a church. I had no idea how to find a church. I had no idea even what Bible to pick up, what to read. There were so many of them. And there again, God stepped in. I went to the grocery store. I struck up a conversation with the cashier. She told me of a church. And so I decided to go to that church. And at that time, I felt when I went in, as I was talking to the pastor and different people, I would let them know my background because I felt I came with a warning label. And I felt I needed to be honest and upfront with people so they knew what my background was, so that I couldn't hurt them in any way. Well, that church wouldn't baptize me, not for quite some time. I don't remember when I walked in the door, but I did not get baptized there until January of 2018. So there was quite a bit of time between the process and quite a bit of unwinding and just a lot of processing to go through. And after I was baptized, and I did learn things there, but after a while, I began to hear similarities from the New Age movement in the church. And I felt a divisiveness, a Jezebel spirit. And by then, I had been reading the Bible. I read a chronological one, and I forget what the other one was. I had been reading the Bible from beginning to end because I felt I needed to know for myself. And in doing that, and when I shared that, I was in a life group at the church. And when I shared that I wasn't feeling comfortable, that some things I was questioning, and they also questioned, they felt that spirit was there, but they also told me that they were comfortable there. And they had been going there for years and they knew a lot of people and they weren't willing to change anything. They felt like they needed to stay at that church and help it, that they shouldn't desert it, that they needed to stay there. Well, I didn't feel I needed to stay there from my experience. So I left that church and went to another church. I think I explained a little bit what had transpired with a youth group there when I was called to help in that. And the Lord also led me to Diana's website, and that's what brings us to the conversation today, because her writings, and I think she mentioned we got together in May of 2017, and her writings on the website rang so true to me, and it felt like things that I had lived. In fact, the first book I read the Bible was the book of Revelation, because I felt that I was shown something in the end times. And it was important for me at that time. I thought I didn't know what had transpired, but I thought it had something to do with the end times and that I needed to share it. I needed to share it so that Christians wouldn't be sideswiped like I was. And so I had talked with Diana, and we've been talking for a while since. So my takeaway or my concerns for being a new Christian with the church is that there wasn't any shepherding. I went into the church, but it was like, yes, they were concerned with the numbers and getting people in there. But once you were in there, they weren't helping me. I needed to be shepherded. I needed to be discipled. I wasn't feeling that at all. And from my takeaways, I don't see that there's a clear discernment, that even any idea or concern of spiritual warfare, I never heard about pleading the blood of Jesus, or mentioning the need for putting on spiritual armor or learning about God's ways. Most of them that I had spoken to in the couple of churches that I had gone to, they haven't even read the entire Bible themselves, and they have been going there for years. So I felt there wasn't any preparation, and the church didn't seem to know that there was a battle for our souls and a fight between the good and the evil and the light and the dark. And obviously I walked into it. I experienced it. I still, to this day, don't know everything about it. I've given up needing to know. I know that God knows, and I know that he saved me from it. And I'm comfortable with that. I'm good with that. I don't need to know anymore. I just know that the only reason that I allowed myself to go back over reading notes and going back over trying to refresh my memory of that time, which there's a part of me that wants to leave it behind, let it go. But I know that it's also an anchor for me, because whenever a voice or something comes, say the enemy, the accuser of my soul comes to accuse and try to confuse or create doubt within me, it goes back to that moment. Like Diana said, but God, Jesus stepped in and he knew my heart, even when I wasn't fully aware or fully committed to him. I'm not suggesting to do that, because I feel my gauge is when I'm interacting, or let's put it this way, I work at a courthouse and I have experience with a lot of different people and what is supposed to be a rule of law and how that gets shaded. I am so grateful and so thankful that I have a God that never changes, that he is righteous and he is faithful and his love endures forever. And I just hang on to that. I pray to God that he's going to continue to heal me, continue to remove any blocks. So like I was mentioning or saying, what I found out, or what I found odd when I was in the churches, is that most of them hadn't even read the entire Bible by themselves. So I was feeling there was no preparation. I don't even think the church thinks there is a battle going on or a fight between good and evil or light and darkness. There just seems to be a complacency. There seems to be this, they're comfortable, oblivious almost, trusting but not knowing, and lacking in knowledge. Like it's written, my people will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. In the New Age movement, they're very good in coming together and feeling supported and loved and all that kind of stuff. And I feel that the church, or my experience with the church, let's put it that way, that the sheep seem to be scattered, and that they're not acting or coming together as a united body. And we seem to be running alone and, like I said, not being shepherded. And I know the Lord is still revealing things to me. Even as we're speaking here today, I'm still unwinding old beliefs, but I am holding on dearly and placing my trust solely on him and for him to guide my path. And I think that's a good place for me to end.
Okay. Thank you so much. That is amazing testimony, Renee. But I'd like to relay what the Lord's been laying upon my heart that ties directly into what he's prompted Renee to share with us. And she told me the other day, she said, God, call me out of Reiki. It was just a statement that was just things that the Lord was saying to her, and she was relaying to me. And the Holy Spirit immediately confirmed that God's calling his people out of New Age. That was what came. God's calling his people out of New Age. And New Age has many tentacles and goes by various names, you know, Reiki, yoga. That's just a couple, you know, the list goes on and on. Those two branches are only a fragment of the whole. I put some notes down here because the following, I just want to give a general definition of New Age. And I encourage you to do a study so you'll know. But it's been around since Adam. It's Gnosticism. And you rarely hear that term today. It's now known as New Age. Okay, it's what Paul originally spoke of and the church has dealt with on a continual basis to our present day. Basically, it's various religious groups that emphasized personal spiritual knowledge above orthodox teaching and authority of religious institutions. Gnostics generally present a distinction between a supreme hidden God and a malevolent lesser divinity. So that supreme hidden God and a lesser divinity, sometimes associated with Yahweh of the Old Testament, who created the material universe, and they normally consider Jesus one of many ascended masters. So they consider the principal element of salvation to be direct knowledge of the supreme divinity in the form of mystical or esoteric insight. Their writings are filled with illusion and enlightenment. Doesn't that sound like some of the writings all of us are seeing out there today? Illusion and enlightenment? Wow. These type of writings and teachings were flourishing when the fathers of the early church denounced them as heresy. Nothing's changed, saints. We call it New Age today. Paul warned us in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And he said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. That was his fear. Although Renee and others, including myself, have experienced or come across blatant error in the churches in the form of Reiki, yoga, etc. There's a lot of other strange doctrines floating around, right? Acceptance of sin in the church, an all-inclusive attitude, that uber grace, no need to repent or change. One of the mega churches I went to for a while, that's pretty much describes them. Wasn't there long, but we need to keep in mind, as my brother Aussie always says, he says, hell is all inclusive, Diana. Everyone's welcome there. Heaven's exclusive. Not just anyone is allowed in. I think we all need to keep that in mind as the days continue on. That's going to really put us in a different category. But full-blown Gnosticism is alive and well within the church, emphasizing personal spiritual knowledge above fundamental biblical truths. Okay, I just had someone who for years I thought to be a dear brother in Christ, and I think he was. But he just told me the other day he no longer believes sections of the book of Revelation. He said the bride had a lot to do before Jesus came back. In other words, he thinks the United States will now be one of the last to fall, and the tribulation has been put off because of all the repentance. He's a full-blown dominionist now, is what I would call him. Although he denies it, he denies being associated with that movement. But there's a mixture. There's a mixture in the church. The Holy Spirit keeps talking to me about strange fire, unholy offerings, mixing the holy with the profane or the unholy. And when you have New Age within the church, this is what we're dealing with, strange fire. And we know what happened to Aaron's two sons when they offered strange fire before the Lord in Leviticus 10. We don't know the specific thing they did wrong, but it was dishonoring to God, because in verse 3, the Lord said, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. This is all very serious, as we're called to be kings and priests. And Romans 12, 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And in 1 Peter 2, 5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So as priests of God, we should have a holy fear of presenting strange fire before him, mixing holy with the unholy. Wow. I just wanted to go into that because the Lord kept talking to me, relating New Age with strange fire. Just pray about that. But what an amazing God we serve. He's so merciful, and he's so quick to leave the 99 and go after that one. Whether you're already one of his or still out in the world, he's always beckoning you to come to him. He's beckoning us. If we're in error, he's trying to show us the way. He's trying to speak truth to us. He's giving warnings. The word tells us that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And Ephesians 5:11 says, we're to have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what God did in exposing the wickedness behind New Age to Renee. He pulled the veil back. What she went through coming out of it was horrific, but God was with her. He was with her all the way. And in his love and mercy, he's leading her and others to share their stories, not only to expose the wickedness, to pull back that veil. God's using people like Renee and others to pull that veil back, but also to testify of his faithfulness and his goodness. He's just wanting us to understand, as long as we are pressing in and seeking him, he's there. He's the faithful one. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will move heaven and earth to see his children across to him, to pull them out of that very pit of hell if he has to see them across to him. Anyway, Renee, I think we're going to end there, but I want to thank you so much for sharing your testimony. I know it's like, because I've shared some things of myself before, and it awakens a lot, I know. And it's a good thing, because God has us lay things out on the table, shines more light, exposes more. But I believe many will be awakened and encouraged by hearing your testimony. And I've said that from the beginning when you first contacted me. We didn't know what it was all about exactly, but I knew that it was going to be used for his glory, because you had come out of it and you were one of his now. So would you like to close us in prayer tonight?
Sure. Yes. And thank you for giving me the opportunity and allowing me the space to share for those that may be willing to hear and to listen. So hopefully I might spare one person from experiencing that. So I thank you and I praise God for all he's done. As we come together in unity as one and coming together as the body of Christ under his protection, under his direction, under his guiding. And we praise your holy name, Lord, and we give you thanks for your mercy and your grace. For there are no words, Lord, that would ever come close to all you have done and given us. You sent your beloved Son, Jesus, that we may know your love for us as shown to us through his life and in his dying. Not because he was unjust or had sinned, but so we could be redeemed and made righteous through him. I thank you, Father, for all you have continued to do for us and for calling us out today to examine ourselves before that final day. For your word says you desire not one shall perish. And I thank you, Father, for your righteousness. For you are the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And that we can count on you through the storm, even as we walk through the valley of darkness, we shall fear no evil, for you are by our side. I ask, Father, that you show us your way. You keep us on the narrow path. That you lead us to your truth and guide us and teach us. For you are our salvation, and we wait upon you, Lord. In Jesus' holy and precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you again, Renee. And we just want to say we love you all. And that's it for now. God bless you. Until next time.
God bless.